And now, 88.9 WDCR brings you The Cradle and the Convert, a conversation about local issues with a Catholic perspective. Join your hosts, Dave Slade and Mark Barthelemy, and join the conversation.
Good Tuesday evening, and welcome to Decatur Catholic Radio. To The Cradle and the Convert show, I'm Mark Barthelemy.
And I'm Dave Slade, The Cradle.
And, you know, Dave, the Old Testament is filled with stories of battle and war, where brave men who fought for freedom and justice in their nations and lands, the legacy continued throughout the millennia. And, of course, about World War II, women started entering the military in support roles and staff roles and so forth. And now we just recently saw where they're actually going to, they're authorized for combat roles.
Yeah.
But the men and the women have fought around the globe to this day for freedom and justice. And I heard a definition of a veteran once that I thought was pretty to point, and it goes something like this. A veteran, whether it's active duty, retired, or National Guard or Reserve, is someone who at one point who wrote a blank check payable to the United States of America for an amount up to and including their life.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
And I thought, how profound is that? Because every single person that raises their hand and is inducted into the service takes that oath to protect and defend the world from tyranny and evil. So we owe an incredible debt to these individuals who so selflessly over these years have offered their lives and health to our country and for our freedoms around the world. We remember with great honor, of course, those who lost their lives, gave their all, but also those who served and were seriously wounded during service, because many of these wounds affect people for the whole rest of their lives, whether they're physical or emotional. Today, we're very honored to have as our guest Lauren Coley. Good morning, Lauren.
Morning.
Hi, Lauren. Good evening.
Yeah, well, I don't know what time it is. It's no windows in the studio, folks, so I just have to go by what Dave says. You know, he's usually right. And good morning to Ron Stevens.
Good morning. Good evening.
Yeah, thank you. I did it again.
You know what? Morning is the point of view, so I say it a lot.
Okay, well, then I gotta think about this. Is morning when it's light and dark is when it's night? I don't know. I'm confused. But at any rate, we're honored to have these two as our guests, and both have been extremely active in a program serving wounded veterans, the Wounded Warrior Project. And they're here to tell us about their program and what benefits are provided today. Ladies first, I was taught by my folks. So, Lauren,
attaboy.
Tell us a little bit about your background and where you've gone to school and so forth, what you're doing now, and then how you ended up with the Wounded Warrior Project.
Well, I am a local resident of Decatur. I've lived in Decatur or Forsyth, Illinois, my entire life, except when I went down to St. Louis University for college. But I graduated from rural Forsyth High School, as did all of my three siblings. And so when I was in college, my father decided to open his own pharmacy here in Decatur. And my younger sister, Erica, was going to pharmacy school. And so I decided to join the family business not long after I graduated from SLU. And now I'm in charge of all the marketing and merchandising for our gift area and our pharmacies.
And you really do have a nice gift area, both
absolutely.
In Forsyth and at South Shores. If you're looking for a unique gift, that's the place
and
to go.
Cards. A
Thank
whole
you.
Host of cards.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you. We got involved with the Wounded Warrior Project about 5 years ago when our drug wholesaler, Cardinal Health, invited Dale and Erica, my sister, out to a trade show. And the Wounded Warrior Project was their charity of choice. So they were trying to get all these cheap pharmacists to pony up some money for our veterans. And
can't be worse than cops.
So they decided to bring this idea back to Decatur because they were able to raise a significant amount of money for the Wounded Warrior Project. And Cardinal Health donated a dollar for every dollar that pharmacist
How
donated.
Nice was that?
So,
yeah.
Absolutely. So on the plane ride home, Erica turned to my dad and said, "We have to do this in Decatur. I really think that the community would really love it and think it's something they could get behind." And our pharmacist, Ron Stevens, is a wounded Vietnam veteran, so it was a perfect fit for us.
Well, that worked out. Ron, that's a segue right into you, buddy.
Well, I remember the day quite clearly when Dale came back into the pharmacy. He had a returned from this 3-day trip educational and buying, and he had a couple of pamphlets with him. He just kind of tossed them on the counter and said, "Have you heard of these folks?" And both the pamphlets, of course, were Wounded Warrior Project pamphlets. And I said, "Yeah, I've heard of them. I had a favorable opinion, but I didn't know all the ins and outs." And he said, "Well, check them out, and then let's see what you think." So we did a little research. I think everyone who, there's so many gracious people in and around Macon County and Decatur.
Indeed.
But we all, there are many good causes, and there's nothing more frustrating than to find that your favorite charity or the favorite cause is less than reputable, maybe, and they weren't even aware. We like to know that the money we donate and that we raise actually goes for the cause that it says it does. And so that's one of the things we checked out. Wounded Warrior Program sets the standard for how they use their money, where it actually goes. It goes to where the rubber meets the road, and I'm very proud of that. So we started. Dale said, "Okay, now that you have explained it all and understand it, how about you come up with an idea?" With Lauren's help, and trust me, none of this would happen without Lauren Young. She is the backbone of this, and I am the one who's kind of out front. I decided to ask if, how about we, since I'm an old infantryman, how about if I just walk? How can we, what can we do about that? And we decided that we'd promote that I'll walk a mile for each $100 that's pledged or donated. Now, a mile for $100, that's a pretty good deal for the Wounded Warrior Project, I think. And you know, I walk a little bit anyway, and I might be an old man, but walking is, God has blessed me. I can still do that. And the first year we decided, well, let's try to raise $4,000 or $5,000.
Mm-hmm.
And we said, well, how can we do that? How about we walk from Decatur to Springfield? Because, you know, I'm a former legislator, and there happens to be a national cemetery there, and Abraham Lincoln and the Vietnam Memorial, the World War II Memorial, Korean Memorial, but Lincoln's burial spot, all very appealing to the public. We did it Memorial Day weekend the first year, and that's all it took was 1.5 days, 42 miles altogether. We raised, I think, Lauren, what, over 5,000, I think.
Yes, it was just over 6,000. It was $6,100 that.
And that was the first year.
Yes.
Gee whiz, that
was
great.
4 years ago.
Well, we felt real good about that, and one thing led to another. The next year, we decided we could do it again, and because it was all profit, every dime. And the pharmacy and many others in town. There are reasons to have expenses, but we have none. We get, you know, whether it's Dale at the pharmacy and Lauren just using their time to promote it, whatever case, we take no money out to cover expenses. So the next year we walked down to, we wanted to be a little more ambitious. We said we would walk from Decatur to St. Louis, which was where they were just finishing the Veterans Memorial Bridge. That'd be very appropriate. One thing led to another. This year, we walked everywhere from Greenville to Troy to O'Fallon, New Baden, Lebanon, through Decatur to Forsyth to Pontiac and to El Paso and Fairbury, Pontiac, Gilman, Hersher. Some folks in our area might not know each of those towns.
Ron, this is Dave. When you get to those towns, do people come out and greet you and cheer you along, or do you see folks along the way that offer you support?
Here's the deal. We choose these this town's going to choose themselves because they have a small or an independent pharmacy in each of those towns. And that's our natural connection. You know, we can call up there and started out just being Dale South Lake Pharmacy. And then we were all very fortunate, and the family opened a business in Forsyth, Coley Corner Drug. So that was a natural. But the people in the various towns north of us, there are 15 the Doc's Drugs. Doc's Drugs were started in Pontiac many years ago. They reached out to us because they heard about what we were doing. And so that led to us going to each of those small towns. So they're promoted. Doc's lets everybody know that they can come in just like we did at Dale South Lake Pharmacy. And they can come in and make a donation and support our cause. And do they come out? They do. There is nothing more touching. I carry a 3x5 foot American flag on a staff as I walk down the highways and byways and rural routes. And I can be out in the middle of a totally agricultural area, but because Doc's Drugs or Dale's has promoted it, there may be, I have walked past farmhouses where the mother and three children, I'll never forget this sight, three children who look like little stores, look like little steps, you know, and they were standing there, and I was a little surprised, way out there in the country, and the mother stood behind those, they were about 8, 6, and 4, each one, as the flag went by, with their hand over their heart.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And you know what, that's America.
Well, yes, that impresses on those kids, too, that something special is going on, and those kids will remember that. You know,
sure
they will. That's a beautiful thing.
It is.
They will, and anyone who hears or sees that story, it's an opportunity for them to say, hey, well, how come hand over heart? What's going on here? And you can talk about the blessings that God himself gave this nation. We are a free nation. Our forefathers, there is no doubt in my mind, you know, anything about America. God blessed us from the beginning, and we're here, hopefully, to do his work.
You know, Ron, when we spoke, you and I met last March at the Decatur Vietnam Veterans event, and you were the keynote speaker there. Last night you called me on the phone, and we talked a little bit, and you made an interesting point about a passage from the gospel involving the servant of a centurion. Would you share that with us today?
Well, I'm certainly no theologian or expert on quoting the Bible, but I am like many Christians. I know what's there, and it's all so compelling a story. I mean, really, it really is. There's a reason the Bible's the number one book in the world ever, and there's a reason that literally billions of people follow Christ to this day, and we hope that everyone eventually does. But the story of the centurion I find very compelling for a couple of reasons. One, the fact that he was a Roman soldier, nothing to do with Christianity by rule. But when the centurion met Christ, he simply said, "Lord, heal my servant who is home and ill and going to die." And Jesus said, I of course, because you're faithful, and take me to him. And the centurion responded, "Lord, you don't have to go to him. You have asked it to be done, and because of that, it is done." So the centurion believed without ever moving. He believed that the Lord had cured his servant, and indeed he had. And Jesus said, I've met no one in this region, no one in my life has greater faith than this man. Now think of the people that Jesus,
wow.
Jesus was okay. around.
And of
he's
all people,
Mary.
A Roman centurion.
He's around people who call themselves his followers. The disciples, his mother, Joseph, and all the others. And yet this centurion, no one had greater faith. And, well, I'll tell you what, when I try to talk to others about Christ and to share the good news, that's a great story. And
it is a great
story.
And
a lot of us relate to it because you don't have to be military to understand and relate to that story.
No, not at all.
Because it's about you either have faith, and that faith has to be total, or you don't. And I love that story. When I'm out there walking, many times by myself, most of the time by myself, a lot of things go through your mind, and I just love to think of the Lord and to recite the Lord's Prayer as I'm walking along, thinking about Jesus kneeling down just in the rocks on the hillside, just 3 days before his death and resurrection, praying for us. I love to think about those things.
Well, you know what, Ron? You and Lauren and the Coley Pharmacy certainly are doing God's work. And we're going to use this opportunity to take a little break here, a little intercession, and we'll be right back.
This is Father John Burnett, pastor of St. James and Patrick Parish in the heart of Decatur. And Dave and Mark, I would ask you a question. What's the operative word in the Gospel of St. John? Well, he tells us at the end, the reason he wrote the Gospel is that so we may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, and through this belief have life in his name. All through the Gospel of John, the word believe is there from the very beginning. The power to become a child of God is given to those who believe. My question for myself so often, and for you today, what would your life look like if you really believed? And I mean really believed. What would your friendships be like? What would your family be like? What would your work be like? If you really believed.
Okay, we're back on The Cradle and the Convert with Lauren Coley and Ron Stevens, and we're talking about the Wounded Warrior Project. Mark, take it away.
Well, Lauren, I want to ask you, the Herald Review on August 27th had a great front page article about the Wounded Warrior Project, and it talked about a specific veteran, Jason Brays.
Jason Brassey.
Brassey, okay. And Dale's, of course, and other pharmacies, $108,000 donated to the Wounded Warrior cause, which is just tremendous. Your dad, Lauren, told me when I was talking with him that Brassey had a leg injury, a severe leg injury. And the fact was that as they were bringing him in, there was a vascular surgeon, I think it was, that had already boarded a helicopter and was getting ready to ship out, take off. And he heard by radio, I think, or something, that the A soldier was coming in with a severe injury. And he thought, you know what, I better go take a look at this. And tell me a little bit about that.
Absolutely. Jason said it was absolutely a gift from God that the vascular surgeon, who is only on their base two times a month, was actually there that day. And he was supposed to leave via helicopter to fly back home at 9 o'clock that morning. Jason's troops got hit at a little before 9, and they went over an IED, and he said that immediately he could tell that there was an issue, and so the medic dragged him back so they could get him back to the camp. And the surgeon was actually in the helicopter. They made him turn around. He made the pilot turn around so he could go help this soldier, which ended up being Jason Brassey.
Well, ask and you shall receive.
And there are no coincidences. I'm telling you now, that's something right there. Now, what benefit did the project actually do for Jason?
Jason was able to get the rehabilitation services from the Wounded Warrior Project while he was at Walter Reed Hospital. They actually helped bring his family from Idaho, his new wife and his family members, to Walter Reed Hospital to see him, because they, at that point, Jason wasn't even sure, due to the injuries on his right leg, if he was ever going to be able to walk again. This was a young man that was about 24 years old, and he was a very adventurous, outdoorsy, growing up in Idaho, you know, always on his ATV and going down the mountains, things like that. He, you know, very active young man, and they told him they weren't sure if he was going to be able to walk again. So they brought his family to him in Walter Reed Hospital to try to get him a little more encouragement and see if that would help. And he said that every day for a month, they would stick his right big toe and see if there was any movement at all, see if there was any nerve damage. Every day for a month, he was just isolated to his bed, couldn't move. And then one day, he said after about 8 hours of staring at that big toe, he finally was able to get it to move. And it was just a little glimmer of movement that the doctor saw and said, okay, your nerves are still good. We can do surgery.
Oh, wow.
So he was able
incredible?
To have, 13 more surgeries.
Oh,
and
my.
So the Wounded Warrior Project helped him through all of those. The project actually gives each veteran, once they arrive at Walter Reed Hospital, a backpack.
That's what I was getting ready to ask about.
And so they have some supplies, some toiletry supplies, which Jason said his wife was very, very appreciative of those. She said it had been about a week since Jason had been able to shower or brush his teeth at that point. So she was very appreciative of those. But they also have socks and a T-shirt and things like that. Jason said that the T-shirt is great because whenever you're sitting in a hospital room in your hospital gown, it's not very sexy when you're seeing your wife for the first time in a year. So he was very appreciative of that. But and a lot of the other veterans that we have spoken with whenever we've gone to conferences to see them or when they've come in for our check presentations, some of them have been amputees. So they see the socks and they kind of laugh and think, I'm never going to use those again. But again, it's just a symbol that the Wounded Warrior Project is there to help the entire person.
Right. That's great. Ron, back to you for a minute. You yourself were wounded in combat. Can you tell us a little bit about your injury and your recovery and what services were available to you at that time? And we're talking, 40 years ago or more?
Let's call it 45, yeah.
Okay.
45 years.
Math wasn't my best subject.
Seems like yesterday. first of all, all of us who were lucky enough to make it back are grateful, bar none. So anything, if I should say anything that may sound critical of the way I was treated or saw someone else treated, that's not the case. We know that we've always done the best we can. The great news is that we're doing so much better now. In World War II, if you were wounded, anyone, the average survival was 40%.
Wow.
Today in Afghanistan, any wound, on average, 93%.
Wow, that's incredible.
It is incredible for two reasons. One, with the Lord's help, we've saved a life. But secondly, the burdens of those injuries are heavier than they used to be.
Oh, absolutely.
And another thing that occurred is and I talked to Jason the other night about this. We were, he said something about coincidences that happened during his recovery. And as a Christian, I kind of perked up. I was pretty sure what I knew exactly what he was talking about. The Lord touches us all every day. We just don't always feel it. We don't always hear it, and sometimes we don't even respond.
That's right.
My injuries were of a nature that, although it took a while to recover, about 18 months altogether, but I was able to walk off the battlefield. I can relate to Jason's injuries, because during a long recovery and just during life, there are many people who have done the same thing that he and I both did, which is a huge, huge mistake, and that is we turned our back on Christ. We thought, you know what, if you love me so much, why'd you let me? Why did you let me live? That's it. When I said that to Jason, he goes, oh, yeah, I said that about 1,000 times. It's an extraordinary thing to say and think about, isn't it? And
it's almost survival guilt.
There are a lot of things into it. Certainly survival guilt, just the adjustments that you make in a family. It's so hard for a family. That's another thing I love about the Wounded Warrior Project. We not only understand that the soldier, sailor, marine, Coast Guardman, airman, they all need our help. It's obvious when there's a wound. But what's not so obvious sometimes is how's the family doing? And so we embrace them too. We have programs for families. Whatever happened in your life, if somebody else has been through it, wouldn't it be nice to chat with them about how they handled it, if they handled it successfully? And so we've not only let the soldiers, the wounded, process things by discussing it with other wounded. We let the wives and husbands, we help them by creating support groups, vacations, hunts, hiking, historical visits, or just across the kitchen table.
Mm-hmm.
One spouse talking to the other and maybe reaching out and saying, you know what, I know how you feel. And when someone who's been in a terrible situation, like having your husband's legs ripped off in the prime of his life, no one knows how that feels. It is what most of us would think. But the wife of a person who's already been through it 4 or 5 years ago, she can say, I do know how you feel. And it's got credibility. And then we can talk and work through the things that and laugh about things like, my husband's got a drawer full of socks, he just doesn't have any feet.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know what, and between two wives whose husbands have been double amputees, that's a little joke that,
well, sure,
hey, yeah, you do. And then you can talk about where else can I get my strengths, you know. Then and then pretty soon that book I told you about, the Bible's going to come out, and things are going to happen in a positive nature. The very worst thing that can happen in today happened to some young men. One of them lives in Decatur. His unit was in a tremendous battle where 38 Americans were practically overrun by 400 Taliban, and Kobe Floyd and others fought for their lives and prevailed, and when they came home, they had lost 8 soldiers that day. 8 heroes gave their life to protect others and for the cause that we believe in. But the worst thing happened. They lost 8 friends that day, and then 6 months later, a young man who just couldn't process it all, couldn't take it any longer, put a pistol in his mouth and pulled the trigger, and a tragic death. So there were 9 soldiers lost.
Wow.
And if there's someone out there now, right this moment, who needs someone to talk to, so we ask them to please try to find a Wounded Warrior person. Office near you. We have 20 offices around the country. There's one in Chicago. Find someone. Come into Dale South Lake Pharmacy. Go to Coley Corner Drug. Go to the local church. Go to your radio station. Anything. Just let us know that maybe, because you know what? I have friends who have put a pistol in their mouth and not pulled the trigger.
Mm.
I would love for that person to be able to talk to someone else who's thinking about it.
Mm.
Because I believe this, and because I know it's true. If we could be with that person, ask the Lord for guidance, it will occur.
Yeah, exactly. You know, when somebody is that desperate, if you can just get them to not do it today.
Right.
You know, that we used to talk to suicidal people and say, just you can do it if you want to, just don't do it today. And so often their minds change, or somebody reaches out, or one of those coincidences that we talk about, something comes along. And, you know, in the Beatitudes, Ron, Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. And I think all soldiers are children of God, because sure they truly are the peacemakers.
Yeah, that's true. Some people don't fail to understand that. They think, well, if you're in the military, you're a warmonger. No one hates war more than the people who bear arms, because it is not a fight. It is not fun. It's not. There are so many unfair, sad, tragic, heart-ripping stories about the unfairness of it all.
Mm.
And the only way to prevent war, because there will always, you know, we like to talk about religion and Christ and the Holy Spirit and God. But let's not forget the devil. The devil's out there. The devil
is
out there. He's president, and he will take advantage of any weakness. He wants to occupy your mind and he wants you in his kingdom.
Sure. That's his game.
His kingdom is hell, and it's miserable. And
Ron, you were telling me on one of your walks recently that a father of a serviceman had been killed in action. Can you relate that story for the folks listening at home, please?
Well, thank you, and I'm not being disrespectful. I will try to be brief, but it's a... it's a story that is certainly worth telling. Brad Smith was from Troy, Illinois. He was an only child. He joined the Air Force and became an pararescue. So he would go out into some godforsaken places and help bring people back in that were wounded or stranded. One day in Afghanistan, they were on such a mission, and one of his friends was stepped on an IED and was during that patrol and was just blown apart and actually blown about 200 meters away from where he had stepped on the device, and was obviously dead. And Brad looked at his commander in this small unit and said, we're not leaving him there. We're going to go get him. It was dangerous. Brad went to recover this young man's body, and then Brad was hit with a similar device. When I was in Troy to walk from Troy to Lebanon, Brad's father came up to me. And by the way, it was raining. It tends to rain on us sometimes, doesn't it, Lauren?
Absolutely. I pray and pray and pray for sunshine for you, Ron. But sometimes, you know, I think that's God's way of keeping you humble, right?
There you go.
That's right. It keeps us fresh. But it was raining this day, and we had a 12-mile walk to make. And Gary Smith, father of Brad, is a big man. And he's not one who brags about the great physical shape he's in. And I said, well, Gary, how far you want to walk with me? And he said, as far as you're going. And, you know, sometimes you can tell when people are troubled or maybe they just need to work out a kink. And I said, sure, great, let's do it. And we walked. And we walked. And we walked slow, because I walk slow. And we were 5, 6, 7 miles into this walk. And we chatted about a lot of things. And all of a sudden, Gary says, hey, hold on. and very slowly, because we were, because we're both old.
You're preaching the choir here, buddy.
He squatted next to the road between Troy and O'Fallon, Illinois, and he reached down and grabbed something, and lo and behold, I look in his hand, and it's a cross. It's a silver cross. Now, I'm sure it was silver-colored. I'm sure it's probably aluminum, but in my heart, it was silver. And I saw him pick it up, and I thought, oh, what a blessing for him. And he turned to me, and he said, Ron, I think this is yours. And he handed it to me, and that was very emotional. Little did I know how emotional. Because Gary had a purpose in walking with me that day, not just to honor his son, but he had to get something off his chest as a parent. When Brad was blown up by the IED, Gary said this. He said, he was a triple amputee, lost both legs and an arm, and his life instantly. They recovered his remains, except for the arm and both of the legs. And they brought his remains back through the system all the way to Dover Air Base in the east, and they prepared him for burial. And I remember going to the service that day in Troy, and we buried Bradley Smith. And I guess about this is something that I was aware of, but Gary's been carrying with him. He's the father, and just imagine, you bury your son, and a month or 5 weeks later, you get a call from your daughter-in-law, and by the way, they had a two-year-old who's just the most beautiful little girl you've ever seen. He got a call. His daughter-in-law said, Dad, two guys from Brad's unit just came to the door, almost like they did before when they told me he had passed, and they were there on an unauthorized visit. And they said, after Brad was killed and was taken home, we had an uncomfortable feeling, and so we went back out to the site of the battle, and after a long search, they found his legs and an arm. And they gathered them, sent them to Dover Air Base, and then they got on a plane. And they came to visit Brad's widow. And they just simply said, what would you like us to do? You just never want to do the wrong thing there, you know. And she didn't know, so she called Gary to tell him that. And Gary said, just simply tell them to have the remains cremated. And if they would be so kind, bring them to Troy. And we will bury them as they should be. And he told me this whole story, standing there on the side of the road in the rain, and me. And he's right, you know what? I needed that cross because I had the cross in my hand, the little bitty 2-inch-high cross.
And he gave that burden, that cross he was carrying, he gave to you to bear. Help him with his burden.
Not as a burden. He had to get that concept, the thought, the words. He had to let somebody know, and what better person? We both gave that burden. We shared that burden because we knew the one who had all the strength, not only to carry it for us, but to carry it with us, was Christ.
Yes.
And he didn't say all this. He gave me the cross to told me the story. And he said, I'm sorry to trouble you, but I feel better about that. And war is ugly. War is ugly. And there's nothing harder that a person will ever do. Anybody can fight a war, but not everyone can send their children to fight a war.
That's right. That is right.
And without the faith in Christ, my heart, for anyone who hears this broadcast, please, please, just reach for someone who you know is associated with a church, but just simply ask the Lord for help. And then if you'll make the decision to accept him as your Savior, you will be amazed with the burdens you can now carry. Christ is the answer, and he is when the Holy Spirit moves through you, it is because we accept Christ and we believe in Christ, and that Christ is there to help that Holy Spirit change our entire life. And will you still have troubles? Of course you will. The person I feel sorry for, we all have troubles. So how do you survive without having that rock? Certain, that place you can always go and never be denied. I'm so glad that Gary and I'm so glad Brad was a Christian. He is with the Lord now.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what he's probably saying? You're talking too much, Ron. Let's just
Oh, I don't think that's possible. I could listen to you for hours, my friend. Listen, I do want to ask you, Lauren. I know we've got listeners out there, and they're saying, "How do we donate? How do we? Maybe we want to volunteer. How do we volunteer? And what's available for us?"
Well, we are accepting donations at Dale's Southlake Pharmacy and Coley's Corner Drugs. Now, Cardinal Health has been very gracious, and they match all the donations that we receive, dollar for dollar. And so, the community has been so helpful in getting this mission out because of that dollar for dollar match. You know, if you get $5, it really helps a veteran with $10.
Right.
So
right.
That just is a phenomenal thing that Cardinal Health has done and will continue to do for us. So we're very grateful for that. We do have some contacts with the Wounded Warrior Project. If someone would like to volunteer, you can call us at Dale's Southlake Pharmacy at 217-429-5165 or woundedwarriorproject.org. And there are different events throughout the state, throughout the country, actually, but throughout the area that you can go to, such as our Warrior Walk, or there's Warrior Rides that you can volunteer at. There's other runs or walks, even golf outings. They do a ton of things. So not only do wounded veterans who are alumni, is what they call them at the Wounded Warrior Project, but part of their organization get benefits. But like Ron said, even the family members are able to take part in the organization and really get all the blessings that they deserve.
You know, my mom and dad have been out twice to see Ron off on his walks from the pharmacy and make their donation there. And the fact that that's matched is really important. So locally, if you have the opportunity to donate, that's the way to do it. If you can't get out locally, like Lauren said, there's www.woundedwarriorproject.org, or you can call to make a donation at Wounded Warrior Project at 877-832-6997.
Well, folks, that's all the time we have this evening. We certainly want to thank you, Lauren and Ron, for being with us and giving us this information about the very, very valuable Wounded Warrior Project. And our listeners, I'm sure, as will Dave and I both, continue to pray for our wounded warriors and the continued success of your project. And thank you both. This is the second show. I've almost been in tears now that we've done out of the 11 shows that we've done. But thank you both for being here and sharing your information and your insight with us. It's very kind and generous of both of you.
Thank you. We're blessed to be a part of it.
Well, we're really grateful. And Ron, keep the faith, brother. Keep walking, doing your thing, and we're behind you all the way. God bless you.
it's an honor to do that, and it's also an honor to be on your show. You're doing the work of the Lord also, obviously, and keep it up. Keep up the good work.
Well, we will.
Right here.
Thank you, buddy, so much.
Our family has spanned the centuries and the globe. With God's grace, we started hospitals to care for the sick. We establish orphanages and help the poor. We are the largest charitable organization on the planet, bringing comfort to those in need. We educate more children than any other institution. We developed the scientific method and founded the college system. We defend the dignity of human life and uphold marriage. Guided by the Holy Spirit, we compiled the Bible. We are transformed by sacred scripture and sacred tradition, which have guided us for 2,000 years. We are the Catholic Church, with over 1 billion in our family, sharing in the sacraments and fullness of the Christian faith. Jesus started our church when he said to Peter, the first pope, "You are rock, and upon this rock I will build my church." So if you've been away from the Catholic Church, we invite you to take another look. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org today. We are Catholic. Welcome home.
We certainly want to thank Lauren and Ron for coming on our show tonight and being with us and giving us this very valuable information about the Wounded Warrior Project.
Yeah, you know, I wasn't real familiar with all that. I mean, I see the commercials on TV, right, and the Say a Prayer for Peace. I like that.
Yep.
And to see the theology and the faith that Ron has.
Tremendous.
Finding that cross. Man, that's amazing.
Yeah, and the guy offering it to him. I think this belongs to you.
The father of a deceased veteran.
Yep.
Great stuff. I mean, there's no such thing as a coincidence.
Really.
That was beautiful.
What do we got coming up, brother? The station's got a fundraiser, right?
Yeah, well, it's kind of a family night fundraiser, but it's the second annual Relevant Reels, where we're going to be showing Pope John Paul II.
Good movie.
Based on the powerful true story of Pope John Paul II. Talks about his life in Poland through World War II, through an assassination attempt, all of the great things he did as pontiff, and then his struggles late in life. And Cary Elwes plays the young pope, and the older pope is played by...
John Voight,
exactly. So you can get tickets at the door, or you can call the studio here and get tickets. The number here is 464-1099. 464-1099. The movie's going to be shown on Thursday, September 17th at 6 p.m. at the Avon Theater. Tickets are $5 each, or 4 tickets for $15. Again, you can get your tickets at the door, or you can call here and reserve them for tickets to the Pope John Paul II movie at the Avon Theater Thursday, September 17th at 6 p.m. You know, last year, Mark, we showed Restless Heart.
Yeah, St. Augustine.
The story of St. Augustine, and we had 450 people
come
to the movie
did.
That night. Probably one of the larger crowds the Avon's seen in a while.
Absolutely.
And I know Skip sold a lot of popcorn, mm-hmm. and we had a lot of fun visiting with folks. It's a family event. Bring the kids and learn more about now Pope St. John Paul II.
And listen, folks, if you like what you're hearing here with Relevant Radio and with our local show on WDCR, we're 100% supported by donations coming from the Catholic community and from Macon County. We absolutely need your help and your support. And this is just one of three fundraisers we do during the course of the year. So what could be better or less obtrusive on your time than to go see a movie and support the cause?
And you know, another thing, Mark, coming up this month is Pope Francis's visit to the United States
for the
Conference on the Family.
First visit.
And if you want the real story about Pope Francis's visit, you know, check in with Relevant Radio throughout the day. They're going to be doing the coverage. They're going to give you the Pope's visit from a Catholic perspective, not from
a political spin.
The mainstream media's spin on what Pope Francis allegedly said. You know, catch it live on Relevant Radio throughout the day during his visit. And we hope you'll get the true story and not just what the media wants you to hear.
Absolutely.
Now, if you've enjoyed our show, and maybe you've missed a couple of them, and if you have, all of the shows now are available on podcast. This is show number 11, I believe, and you can catch these podcasts at our website, which is Listen to all the W's.
Is it good morning or good evening? I can't keep it straight.
www.wdcrradio.com/podcast. www.wdcrradio.com/podcast. And you can listen to any of the shows. If you got friends across the country, I know the show that we did with Magda Brown. We've had hundreds of hits on the podcast and comments and compliments from all over the place about that show. Not that we had a whole lot to do with that one, Mark.
No,
Magda was just an awesome interview. That was more of a commentary.
And this one tonight will be another. I think people will really be riveted to.
So if you have ideas for the show, we're certainly open to that. You can call us here at the studio at 464-1099. You can email us at contact@wdcrradio.com. contact@wdcrradio.com. Or we would really like it if you'd like our Facebook page, which you can type in 88.9 WDCR, or just WDCR. Send us your comments. Give us a like on Facebook. I think we're up to 300 likes.
No way.
Yeah, Drew Mariani's got like 200,000.
Yeah, well, I mean, we don't have that many relatives that are going to like it us.
That's true. So, Mike, before we close tonight, Mark, I know we've got a prayer in mind that we're going to say, but maybe you can give us just a little history about this prayer that we're going to close with tonight.
Sure, and I think a lot of the parishes in the diocese use it as their closing prayer at the end of every Mass. In 1886, Pope Leo XIII had just finished giving Mass when his congregation saw him staring off into the distance, and it was as though he saw something, but no one else could see anything. And after a period of time, he left and secluded himself for about 30 minutes and came back out with the prayer and asked what he had seen in his vision. He said there were demonic spirits. He actually saw demonic spirits congregating onto Rome in an effort to destroy the church. And Saint Michael had came to the rescue of the church and thrust all the evil spirits into hell.
Yeah.
And that was how the St. Michael prayer came about. It was written by Pope Leo XIII in response to that vision he had after Mass.
And wasn't the vision, didn't he see that gave the devil 100 years to accomplish his mission to
destroy the church.
And that would have been the 20th century.
And look at what's happened. We've got abortion. We've got
We had the Nazis.
Yeah, the World War II. We've had all kinds of conflicts, governments crumbling around the world. Ours is kind of in an uncertain state, as in my humble opinion, at this point.
Well, we gave the devil his chance in the 20th century. Let's hope that things begin to turn around, because the pendulum needs to swing before too long. That's for darn sure.
It does. So on behalf of the military and the police officers who have adopted St. Michael as their patron saint, let's just, for the benefit of those serving our armed forces and around the world today, and our police officers out there on the street, let's say the St. Michael prayer closes out.
Okay.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. St. Michael, the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the heavenly hosts, by the power of God, thrust into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who wander about the world seeking the ruin of souls. Amen.
God bless our wounded warriors. God bless our veterans and our police officers. Lord, watch over them in this terrible time of attacks on the police and on our military people overseas. So, Lord, we ask you to hear our prayer.
Amen.
Father, and the
Father,
Son,
and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Well, that's about it for this week, Mark. We had another full show. We've filled up an hour tonight. I hope I hope Father Simon doesn't mind that we preempted his rerun tonight. We need to get up and see him because we're going to go visit Magda Brown one of these days.
That's right.
And see the museum.
The museum up there.
And that's his St. Lambert's Parish is right there in Skokie.
Yep, we should do that.
We can apologize in person to him for that.
Yeah, you know, I kind of, the drift I get from him, I don't think he'd mind that one bit.
All right, grab your guitar. Mike Staples loves it when we play this song.
Does he really?
And I'll sing it, and we'll hit it from here. You ready?
I'm doing the licks.
All right, good night, everybody.
All right, good night, y'all.
The Cradle and the Convert is a production of WDCR, Decatur Catholic Radio.
Love is but a song we sing, fears we will die.